If you'd open your Bibles tonight to the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus, as we continue on in our exposition of this book, we're looking tonight at the first 9 verses. You follow along as I read them. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. This is the contribution which you are to raise from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I'm going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we thank you for the way that it's relevant to our own minds, hearts, and lives. We pray that we would glean from this passage tonight what the Holy Spirit would have us glean. We pray that you do personal work in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. It does not matter what the dispensation, whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament, whether it's Old Testament Israel or the New Testament church, God wants his people to have a corporate place where they can gather together for corporate worship. He wants his people to have a place where they can get together collectively to worship him. Now, it's often been said, and rightly so, that the church is not the building, it's the people, and we would agree with that. In fact, we brought that point out in our study of the doctrine of the church called ecclesiology. The very word church, ecclesia, refers to people who've been called out by God. Our English word church comes from a Scottish word and German word, which comes from a Greek word that means belonging to the Lord. So the basic idea behind the word church is a group of people who've been called out by God, who belong to the Lord. Now, when the church age began, it met in a different places. When it first started, sometimes it met out in a field. It did in Philippi. Sometimes it met in a home. Sometimes it met in a rented school building. But there is historical evidence that churches were being constructed for worship either during or shortly after the apostolic era in Syria. And the truth is, even though the church is not a building, the truth is we do need some place to corporately gather, and that point is very clear from this part of the book of Exodus. Because at this part of the book of Exodus, we get the beginning of a structure that God gave to Israel because he wanted a visible, tangible sanctuary built for him. Now, Israel at this time is in the wilderness of Sinai. So she's not even close to getting near her final destiny. She's not in the promised land at this point. She's not near Jerusalem. But God wanted a place constructed where she could worship him. He wanted a place where he could demonstrate his presence among his people. He wanted a sacred spot that demonstrated with his leaders and with his people that he is present and he is there. He wanted a sacred spot where people could gather and carefully be taught the scriptures. So in this text of Scripture, what we see is God wants his people to build him a place of worship, and he wants people to participate in building his place of worship through their voluntary contributions. Now let's think about this just for a moment. Because God could have provided everything he wanted on his own for construction. He could have had everything just show up at the work site. Better than that, he could have just spoke things into existence. He could have said, "I want a tabernacle." So he just speaks a tabernacle into existence. He spoke the world into existence. So speaking a tabernacle into existence wouldn't be a big problem to God. But the fact is, he didn't want to do that. He decided he wasn't going to do that because he wanted his people to sacrifice to build it. He delegated to his people the responsibility and the opportunity to do something for him. And if his people would do something for him, they would experience tremendous blessings that he would give them. If God's people would actually get directly involved in the building of this new sanctuary, a place of worship for him, he would bless them in some ways they would never dream. Now, before we tackle the text proper, let's just remember what Israel is and what we've seen so far in this book of Exodus. Israel is an idolatrous nation. Israel is a nation who, at this point, couldn't provide food for herself because God was supplying manna for her to eat on a regular basis. But apparently, these people had stored up some treasures, and they had quite a bit of them stored up because of what we'll see in the demands that God requests of them. And they could use some of that stored up treasure to build a sanctuary for him. God saw that these people, even though they have a tendency to become idolatrous, they can use some of those resources and build a new sanctuary for the Lord, and it would stand on their account forever. Now, this tabernacle or sanctuary that they were going to build would not last forever. The fact of the matter is, they'll eventually build a temple in Jerusalem, and that won't last forever either. It's going to be one day rebuilt. We think it's near being rebuilt, but it certainly isn't tonight. So this sanctuary wasn't even going to last forever, but the rewards of the contributions they made would stand forever. And God said, I want my people involved in the process. Now you'll notice from verse 1 that the text begins by saying, then the Lord spoke to Moses. That's certainly not a new statement from the book of Exodus. We've seen that multiple times. What that means is God himself is revealing his word to Moses, and Moses is going to have the responsibility to carefully communicate the word of God to the people of God. And the specific word that he's going to have to communicate to them now is about building God a sanctuary through voluntary contributions. Whatever the word of God happens to be, the minister's responsibility is to teach it. The minister's responsibility is to herald it. And in this context, his responsibility was to teach people about the word of God and about this new sanctuary. And what's discussed in these verses about building a place of corporate worship is, in fact, a discussion that comes because this is the word of God telling Moses, this is what I want you to tell the people. So this is inspired truth that God is giving to Moses. He, in turn, has the responsibility to teach the people. And there are three messages that he presents to him. First of all, God tells Moses, you tell my people that my sanctuary is to be built through their voluntary contributions. Now that's something that just keeps being repeated throughout the scriptures. Voluntary contributions. Not coerced, not manipulated, voluntary. Flip over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're in the days in which David was trying to collect things to build a temple, which his son Solomon would build. And in 1 Chronicles 29, I'm going to point out three verses. First of all, verse 3, 1 Chronicles 29, 3. Moreover, in my delight, in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give to the house of my God over and above all that I've already provided for the holy temple. Drop down to verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. For they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Drop down to verse 14. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. That's voluntary contribution. Flip over to the book of Ezra. Just go over a few pages in your Bible to the right to the book of Ezra. Chapter 2. Ezra chapter 2. In Ezra chapter 2, I want to point out two verses. Verses 68, 69. Ezra 2, 68. Some of the heads of the fathers' households, when they arrived at the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, offered willingly for the house of God to restore it on its foundation. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for the work 61,000 gold drachmas and 5,000 silver manas and 100 priestly garments. They gave those things willingly, voluntary contributions. And when we put this in the New Testament grace age, in 2 Corinthians, which we went through a few months ago, chapter 9, we learn that contributions are to be given voluntary and cheerfully. That's what God wants for people to do in his church. So God says to Moses, you tell my people, I want a corporate place of worship built, a sanctuary, and I want this built by voluntary contributions. The funding of this place is to become through voluntary contributions. Now here's what's fascinating to me about all of this. Most people would not contribute until you show them what you're going to build and how much it's going to cost. In most building projects, you have to come up with a building project plan. And in most building projects, people won't contribute to it until they see the design and they realize how much it is going to cost. God doesn't do that. He just says, what I'm going to start doing is taking voluntary contributions. And then I'll tell you later what we're going to build. In fact, I'll tell you later how we're going to build it. But he doesn't begin by saying, let me show you a schematic and you can see exactly how we're going to do this and what I'm going to do and why I need this stuff. He just says, I'm going to have this thing built through voluntary contributions. You know, we didn't originally ask for a building fund. Did you know that? Money started coming in for a building fund. So then we said, well, maybe we ought to start a building fund. So we start a building fund. At that point in time, money kept coming in. We didn't even have schematics of what we're building out there. We thought maybe we ought to think about that, get a drawing, so people could actually see what it is that we're going to build. It kind of reminds me of what God's doing here. Obviously, God would tell them later, this is what I want built, this is how we're going to build it. But it began with, you just tell them, I want voluntary contributions. And there are three observations I want to make from this. First of all, Moses is to tell God's people about the project. Verse 2, tell the sons of Israel. That's your job, Moses. You stand before those people, you communicate to them my word, and my word is talking here about the subject of their voluntary contributions. When you have to teach on that subject, it's not an easy subject because there's so much abuse to this. But he says, you stand before my people and you tell them about this. Secondly, he says, tell my people to raise contributions. He says in verse 2, you tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. Now, Moses is basically told here, you don't have to do this, Moses. That's not your job. You're not some fundraiser in this. You tell the people to do it. You tell the people to raise the contributions. You tell the sons of Israel that it's their responsibility to raise those contributions. And I want you to notice, they are raising those contributions for me. Notice that prepositional phrase, raising those contributions for me. In other words, what they're going to give is actually something being given to me. I'm keeping track of everything that they're giving. And I'm keeping track of people who joyfully give to me, and they're giving it to me. Now, some of the contributions would go to build the structure. As you'll see, there's going to be material contributions that will go to also support the ministers that would be ultimately anointed for ministry. But he said, I want you to tell the people that when they're contributing to this, they're doing this for me. The third observation is you tell the people that they are to give contributions from every man whose heart moves them to give. At the end of verse 2, he says, from every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. Now, you want to know what that tells us? Not everybody we're going to get behind this project. In fact, I understand this to mean you can expect not everybody's going to do this for me. But what I want you to know, Moses, is you don't beg people. You don't plead with people. You don't try to manipulate people. You simply communicate to them the word of God about the project. People are not to give because they're forced to give. Don't try to coerce them to give. Don't try to regulate how much they have to give. Don't come up with some percentage. You let each person decide what they're going to do by the promptings of their own heart. And God says, I monitor the heart, so I see what the promptings are. So what Moses was to say to the people is, we're going to build God a new sanctuary, and it's going to be done by voluntary contributions. This is going to be a place of worship, and all who have a heart that want to share in this, and all who have a heart that want to give to this, please give to this contribution, because that's how we're going to build this place. But we're not going to build it through taxing people. We're not going to build it through some payback bond system. We're not going to build it through demanding a percentage from everybody. That's not what we're going to do. You stand before the people and you tell them, you give what God lays on your heart. And if you have a little, that's all you can give. I'm reminded of that widow that had two mites. That's it. She gave it all. Jesus spotted her in the temple and he said, I'll tell you what, that woman gave more than all those people throwing big dollars into the kitty. This was to be a voluntary, Hebrew reads, free-hearted offering. One Hebrew scholar said, every man whose heart directs him. A number of years ago at another ministry, there was a guy who had given quite a bit of money to the church. He wanted everybody to know it too, by the way. Because things were getting tense, he came to me and he basically said, I'm going to stop giving my money and this church will be boarded up. Well, now that didn't go over real well with me. So when he said that to me, I said, I don't care about your stinking money. And this isn't your church anyway. This is God's church. And this church will go on as long as God wants it to go on. And it went on for years. God doesn't need your money. And if that's your attitude, you're going to give it grudgingly. You're not going to give it cheerfully. Then by all means, don't give it. If you don't have a heart to want to give to a new sanctuary, don't give it. We're not going to beg people. We're not going to try to manipulate you. Keep your money. Save your money. Spend it all on yourself. Keep your silver. Store it up. Buy yourself all the stuff you want to buy. But notice this. You'll miss out in the end. You'll miss out in the end because God keeps track of who it is who has a heart that wants to do something like build a sanctuary for the Lord. And you have to wonder, how did the people respond to this? Well, fortunately, we're not left to guess about this. We get the answer. Flip over to chapter 35, verse 21. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets. All articles of gold, so did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and porpoise skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution, and every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with the skill spun goat's hair. The rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting for the ephod and for the breastpiece and the spice and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites, all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. That's what happened. A lot of people's heart were stirred and they said, we want in on this project. And we're going to do what we can to build this project for God. And this contribution of voluntary offerings would become the prelude to building that temple that we see remnants of to this day in Jerusalem. The second message is God tells Moses what the people are to give. In verses 3 to 7, there's a list of things here that God said, I want these people to give these kinds of things. Some of the things in the list are more substantial than other things. Obviously, all of the gifts were needed to complete this project, and you couldn't just bring anything to the job site that you wanted to bring. If it were to come to the job site and be used, it had to meet the criteria or the specs that God would have for the building. I mean, this was going to be a high-quality, top-dollar building. In other words, you couldn't just bring any old thing as a gift. It had to be legitimate to what God would view as being an acceptable gift. This tabernacle, by the way, that we will see constructed and will also see in the next weeks, the furniture constructed that goes in the tabernacle would be nicer than any tent any person lived in. That's right. This sanctuary would actually be nicer than any home any person lived in. And shouldn't God's place of worship be nice? Shouldn't it be a nice place that honors the Lord when we build something? J. Vernon McGee said that it's been estimated that the total cost for the construction of this sanctuary would have been $5 million. And as near as I can determine, there are 13 different gifts that people could bring to the project. First of all, they could contribute gold. Now, gold, as we will see as we go through the furniture and the tabernacle, would be used for many things. The first three gifts are metal gifts. No other metal gifts were ever accepted but these three. These three are the metal gifts that God would allow to be in his tabernacle. Gold was and still is a very expensive metal. It's the most precious and valuable of metals. And we will see as we move through this book of Exodus, there was a lot needed in the construction of this tabernacle so you could bring gold. It was not going to be cheaply designed or cheaply made. Secondly, you could contribute silver. Now, as we'll see later in the book, silver was used for some of the construction of the sockets to hold the boards and the hooks. They would be made from silver, and that would stand out brightly shining against the gold backdrop of things. The third gift you could bring would be bronze. And bronze hooks were made to hold the tent together. Bronze was used to make the utensils that would be used in the tabernacle and used for some of the trim work. So those were the metals that God said you could bring as an offering. You can bring gold, silver, bronze. Then he says you can contribute colored material, verse 4. The next voluntary gifts are fabric gifts. He says we're going to need material of blue, purple, and scarlet. Those are acceptable. None of that was cheap. And the truth of the matter is, all of this material has a connection to Jesus Christ. And we know the scarlet material has a connection in comparison to our own sin. Because though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed whiter than snow, Isaiah tells us. So what we would learn from this is you couldn't just take anything you wanted. It had to meet the criteria of God. The fifth gift is you need to contribute fine linen. We'll take fine linen. Fine linen would be used in several things. They would have brought some of this from the Egyptians because the Egyptians had given them gifts when they left Egypt. You'll recall that. It's been a while since we saw it, but they did. That fine linen would be used to make some of those priestly clothing items that would be necessary for the serving of the Lord. The sixth gift would be goat hair. The seventh gift would be ram skin. The eighth gift would be porpoise skins. Now the word porpoise here, takashim in Hebrew, refers to a sea cow, a manti, or like a seal. Now, why do you need the skins? That's what you're going to make the tent out of. I mean, this tabernacle is not going to be made of mortar and stone or brick. This tabernacle is going to be made of skin. You're going to need those skins to construct this tabernacle, and so people could contribute that. The ninth gift that God would accept was acacia wood. Now, acacia wood was a high-grade wood. It was known as being a wood. We'll talk more about that in another time. It was a high-grade wood that was known not to rot or decay. It can be compared in the United States to a Western red cedar wood, which is a very high-quality wood that's often used to build long homes that last for a long time. The 10th gift you could bring was oil for lighting, olive oil. The 11th gift you could bring was spices for anointing oil and fragrant incense. The tabernacle would have to be anointed. The priest would have to be anointed. They would need oil to do that. The 12th gift that you could bring was onyx stones. That would become part of the priest's garments and clothing. And the 13th gift that you could contribute would be the setting stones. Now these stones would help to make the priest's breastplate. And God considers all of this stuff to be an offering to him. So as these people are bringing these contributions for this, God says, that's an offering they're giving to me. And there was value to every one of the contributions. All of the contributions were needed. All would be accepted. In our day, we can't, of course, just show up at the job site and bring boards. We cannot just show up to the job site and bring what we want. But our offerings are given in dollar forms. And when we give those dollar form offerings that go to the project, we're giving that to the Lord. But God told Moses, don't you try to beg people about this. And don't you manipulate people. You tell them if their hearts are moved to give, then give. And if their hearts aren't moved, then by all means don't give. But people who don't give need to realize God's keeping track of that heart. He's keeping track of who's giving what. Because this was his glorious project that he wanted constructed, this new sanctuary. So he's keeping track of who's giving what. And if a person is involved in the work of the Lord, and there's a great opportunity to be involved in a project like this, building a sanctuary for God, if you were part of Israel and your heart wasn't prompting you to get on board, you might want to go to God and ask God, what's wrong with my heart? Because everybody else is on board. And you might be wanting to go to the Lord and say, would you change my heart? All these other people seem to be seeing this and getting involved in this. And Lord, I need you to change me. Which brings us to the third message. God tells Moses to tell his people they're to construct a sanctuary. Now he says in verse 8, let them construct a sanctuary. I love that Hebrew word, mikdash. Let them make for me a holy place, a sacred place. Let them make for me a consecrated place. This sanctuary would actually have several different proper noun titles. It would be called the tent of meeting, which was the purpose of the structure. I mean, the purpose of the sanctuary is that people could get together and meet. It would also be called the tabernacle of the testimony. And that, of course, was the place where the word of God was protected, the place where the word of God was communicated, the tent of the testimony. Now, there are three points I want you to see about this. First of all, God's people were to construct a sanctuary for God. Verse 8, let them construct a sanctuary for me. They're doing this for me. I want that put up. I want that viewed as a sacred place. I want that viewed as a consecrated place. And I want them to view it as they're doing this for me. You're not doing this for Moses. You're not doing this for yourself. You're not doing this for the community. God says, the reason why I want you to build this is I want you to do that for me. You're doing it for God. And I'll tell you, when Moses was told by God, I want to have you construct a sanctuary for God, Moses had no clue, how do you even build this? I mean, he's not a skilled builder. That's not what his trade was. I mean, he spent some time with some sheep. We know that because we tracked him in his early life. But he's not a skilled craftsman. Here's the deal, though. Moses didn't know what God was actually starting to do in people's hearts. Flip over to chapter 31. Moses didn't know this at this point. But in chapter 31, now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I've called by my name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze, and in cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have appointed him with Aholiab, the son of Asamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill, that they may make all that I've commanded you. Moses didn't have a clue that God was already preparing guys who could build this. All he knew is we've got to get voluntary contributions for this thing to be built. But I tell you, there's a great principle to learn from this. When God wants a sanctuary built, he'll put it within a great majority of people, build it. And he'll produce the people who can build it. And there will be very skilled craftsmen who will be able to put it up. And basically God is saying to the people, you tell the people, Moses, that it's all to be done by voluntary contributions. If they don't want to share in this, don't beg them, don't plead with them. Let it be of their own heart. But you tell them they're constructing a sanctuary for me. Secondly, God's people are construct a sanctuary so I can dwell with my people. He says in verse 8, that I may dwell among them. Now in Hebrew, we could read this sentence, and this is the way I would translate it. They will make me a holy place, I'll locate myself among them. God wanted a special place where he could regularly gather and actually have his presence with his people. Now let's just think about this for a moment, because God did not require a building in order to dwell with his people. Obviously, he's been dwelling with Israel since they left Egypt. How'd they get across the Red Sea? I mean, God was with them and parted that sea and took them across the sea. But what God wanted is, I want a sanctuary. I want a sanctuary that is making a statement for me. I want a special place constructed where people can gather. And my presence will be there when they gather. And I want them to come into my presence there. And if my people will build this place for me, they will discover this will be a very special place for me to meet with my people. And may I say, I want to thank you who continue to pray for and support the new sanctuary project, because that's what we want that sanctuary to be. just exactly what we want it to be. We want it to be a very special place. We want it to be a very special church where the Word of God is honored and His presence is there. That's why you build a sanctuary. Which brings us to the third point. God's people are to construct it by following a precise pattern given by God. Verse 9 says, according to all that I'm going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. Now, it's interesting that the first pronoun, you, in verse 9 is singular. So he says, in all that I'm going to show you, singular, Moses. But then he says, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just show you, plural. So he's basically telling Moses, I'm giving you the assignment. And the assignment is, you tell the people they're to build me a sanctuary by voluntary contributions, but they're going to be involved in the project. Not just you're going to do this. All the people are going to do this. You tell them all that that's what I want. I've got a plan, I have a pattern, I have a design, and I have the people. I know how I want this sanctuary to be designed. I know what I want in the sanctuary, and I know the people with whom I'm going to fellowship in this sanctuary. Now, in this New Testament grace age, we as believers in Jesus Christ have the privilege of actually having God dwell in us. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit takes up residency in us. It indwells us forever. And it's revealed that we can have the very, and we do have, the very special presence of God in our lives individually. But also it's revealed in Scripture that God's special presence is involved when His people gather together for corporate worship. It's a very God-worthy assignment to build a sanctuary for God. It's a wonderful thing to do for the Lord, to build something where the family of God can worship as one family. And when something is built by voluntary contribution, it's not begged, it's not manipulated, it's not coerced, it squares with the Word of God. And may I say thank you for loving the Word and helping build the church. May we pray. If you're here tonight and you've never believed in Jesus Christ, you can think about this for a second. You can have God live in you, dwell in you, if you'll invite Him into your life to be your Savior. Right now in this moment, just admit the truth that you are a sinner. Ask Christ to come into your life and be your Savior. Our Father, we bow in Thy presence tonight, and we know Your presence is here tonight. There's no doubt about that. It is sensed. We thank You for the great privilege we have of gathering together as the people of God, and we're excited about the possibility that we have to put up a new sanctuary, Lord, that is solely for You. It solely stands as a place that is reverent, where You can be worshiped, where Your Word is exalted. We thank You for voluntary contributions that people have given to this project. And we just pray Your blessing on each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen.